If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Mark, the first chapter. We're going to read 8 verses there. So glad all of you are here today and you prioritize coming to church over being at the park or being with family on this Labor Day weekend. But you said, I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. And I'm going to make that the priority of my life. And that's the greatest thing that you can do. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. It says this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, all they of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, and the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. There's one more verse. It's found out of the Gospel of Luke chapter 3 and verse number 5. And it says this, every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And that last verse says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, I'm going to preach a message I don't want to preach. I really don't want to preach this message today. There was a title I was going to title it, and it was going to be Repent. And I figured if I said that title, everybody was going to walk out of this room. So, Pastor McCoy, I came with a more convenient title so that everybody stays in here. It's simply this, Prepare the Way. Prepare the Way. If you have your Bibles, you can set it down. And if you join me one more time in prayer, because I can't do this on my own. God, we look to you right now in faith, Lord. We believe that you want to meet us in the next few moments, God. Lord, we're hungry for a fresh touch. As the deer panteth for the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. God, we're thirsty for a fresh touch. We're hungry for a fresh visitation of your glory and of your power here today. Speak to your people, and we stand in awe of your presence today, that you would love us so unconditionally. We give you all praise, glory, and honor. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And if we hide its words in our heart, it declares to us that we will not sin against God. The Word of God is eternal. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8 says, the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. Now your Bible, for those of you who don't know, and maybe it's been a while since you've looked at the Bible, but your Bible consists of 66 books, and it has 63,779 cross-references that are linked promises together. The Bible was written by 40 men in 3 different languages and 3 different continents over the span of 1,500 years. It's an amazing statistic. And they somehow intertwine and intermingle, and they bring us the most beautiful book that's ever been written, the Holy Bible. Now, in the pages of Scripture, we find a man whose name was John the Baptist. And there were some prophets that preceded John the Baptist. And One of those prophets was by the name of Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 40 in verse number 3 said, "The voice of him that cometh to declare the way, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And Isaiah would live 700 years before the birth of John the Baptist. That's an amazing statistic. Another prophet would come along by the name of Malachi. And in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 1, he would declare to us today, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." And here today, I am not speaking my own words. I'm not speaking with man's words of wisdom. I'm not speaking eloquently. But I've come to bring you the revelation of the Word of God. It is still powerful. It doesn't matter what government mandate comes. It doesn't matter what restrictions may come from the White House. It doesn't matter what world leader would stand up and say, "This has to stop." The Word of God will prevail. The Word of God will come to pass. And that's why I can stand up here and echo the words of Joel that said, in the last days, he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, upon the sons and the daughters. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing that can stop the Word of God. It is forever settled, and it is the pathway to get to a place called heaven. I'm not speaking from Damien's book, and Pastor McCoy didn't bring me a book and say, "Preach from this book." I'm preaching today out of the Holy Word of God, wherein we will find a path to heaven. John the Baptist would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing what his message would be. He would simply come and say, "Repent." And the Bible says that all the city of Judea and Jerusalem, they came out to hear this unknown message. Because in those days, what would happen is the religious elites, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the ones that had access to the promises of God. And everybody else said, "Man, I'm just a nobody from nowhere, and I can't get to heaven, and man, nobody can save me." And John the Baptist would get up in the wilderness and said, "Hey, there is a way that you can go, and it's through the avenue of repentance. There is a road to heaven, but the first step you have to take is called repentance." John the Baptist only had one message. Now, I'm sure if you were in John the Baptist church, you would get tired after a couple services. On a Sunday, his first time preaching, it was called the Revelation of Repentance. And it was powerful and potent, and everybody was in awe. On that Wednesday night, when midweek came along, Pastor McCoy, he had to change up his message just like any good preacher and keep the people guessing. So he said, "The rewards of repentance." On the next Sunday, he finally just gave up and said, "Man, I can't put this any other way, Pastor McCoy. I'm just going to simply stand up and say, hey, you have to repent of your sins. I can't say it any other way. I wish I could this morning. I wish I could get up here and say, you can just come as you are. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to make heaven your home, you have to repent of your sins." And repentance is not just a prayer that you pray. It's not just you come on a Sunday and you say, "Lord, I'm so sorry for everything I've done. I'm sorry for the lifestyle I've been living. Tired of the websites I've been searching. tired of the alcohol I've been drinking. I'm tired of smoking so many times throughout the week. And that's beautiful. And I believe God wants to hear that. But true repentance happens when you turn away from what you've been doing. Where it's not just words that are coming out of your mouth, but you get up out of a service on a Sunday and you leave saying, I'm never going to touch that again. I'm never going to watch that again. I'm not going to be in that relationship anymore. I'm not going to visit that website anymore. I'm tired of living in sin. I'm turning away from my lifestyle, and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of living the same old cycle. I'm tired of just repenting, doing good for a couple weeks, then going to church, then going out of church, then coming after a couple months and repenting. And I'm tired of the cycle. I'm putting a death on the cycle. And I'm saying I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. True repentance is turning away. It's separation. It's giving up your lifestyle and your habits. And it's so difficult because we as humanity get so locked into habits. It's hard to break a habit. But John the Baptist, it would tell us in Mark, verse 3, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way. Make his paths straight. Now, what's so beautiful about John the Baptist is he did not have an amazing praise team. He didn't have tracks. He didn't even have this cool, they did this for me. That's so cool. John the Baptist didn't have a huge screen with his title on it with cool graphics. And John the Baptist didn't even have a beautiful building. And John the Baptist didn't even have a microphone. But John the Baptist is found just the voice of one. And it would tell us its location. It wasn't in the circumference of the city. It wasn't in the society. The Bible says that he changed his location and he was found in the wilderness. And he simply would lift his voice and he would preach to the wilderness. He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. He didn't have a leadership team, Pastor McCoy. He didn't have a dream team. It was just him who had a boldness to believe that his message could be a hope to the lives of humanity. And it says in verse number 5, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. What that lets me know is that this gospel was for whosoever will. It doesn't matter your pedigree. It doesn't matter your position. It doesn't matter your prominence. It doesn't matter your bank account or what status of life you were in. It doesn't matter your family lineage. It doesn't matter what your career is or what past that looked so dredged out by sin and shame. But John the Baptist would declare that this message is for whosoever will. And I will come to declare to you today in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, it would say that God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I've come to preach to every age group, from the youngest to the oldest person. All you have to do today is say, I'm not going back to my life. I'm going to live for Christ. John the Baptist was a unique character. In John chapter 1, it would give us some more information about this amazing character. It would say, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And Scripture would go on to tell us that he was not that light, but was simply come to bear witness of that light. I'm here today to echo the words of John the Baptist. I'm nobody special. I have faults. I have failures. I have mistakes. I have my shortcomings. I have my faults and failures, but I've simply come to echo the most powerful message that you will ever hear, is that there is hope for you if you will simply repent. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17, Paul would declare to us, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now in that verse, I don't see any prayer being prayed. I don't hear it's just simply words. But that verse is packed with action. You've got to come out from among them. You have to be separate, and you can't touch the unclean thing. And if you do that, the promise is that God will receive you. So it's in your court if you want to make heaven your home. Now, I know this is about where I thought the message would. It's going so flat today, and I know repentance is not the most revelatory message that you can preach, Pastor McCoy, but as I was praying over this message, the Lord dropped a thought in my mind, and we love hearing about miracles. Man, I believe in miracles. I'm not downplaying that, and if you came in here with cancer or any disease or illness, I believe that God can heal you. But miracles is what God can do for you. And we love that because nothing is really required of us. And we can come and we can lift our hands and say, "God, I have my bills need to be paid this week. I'm 2 months behind on my rent. And God, I need you to make a way where there seems to be no way." And God will show up to those kind of prayers. But you could walk out of this place with a prayer answered and never look to God again. And that's the beautiful thing about miracles. It's all in God's court. It's whatever He wants to do. But repentance is a little more personal. It's about what you can do for God. It's in your court. And that is the condition that is required to make heaven your home. Can I just tell you that somebody who has cancer can still go to heaven? Somebody who still has an illness and a disease can still go to heaven because they've repented, because they laid all on the altar and they said, "I'm not going back to a lifestyle. I'm living for Jesus Christ. I'm letting go of my habits. I'm letting go of my addictions. I'm letting go of my habits and I'm following Jesus Christ." Miracles is what God can do for you, but repentance is what you can do for God. Amazing thing about John the Baptist is there was a motto to his ministry. John chapter 3 and verse number 30, it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." God, it's less of me and more of you. It's less of my desires and less of my will and less of what I want, and it's more of what you want, God. My grandpa, King, is an amazing man of God. And I would try to get so close to him, Pastor McCoy, when he was praying, because he had the most beautiful prayers. And I remember he would summarize every one of his prayers by saying, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I've laid my heart out before you, but God, you know what's best for me. God, I don't see the big picture, but Lord, I've got to decrease so you can increase. God, I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do." And that's how I feel today. Man, I want to preach another message, but what I feel the burden of heaven weighing on me is to simply preach a message on repentance. To repent. John chapter 10 and verse number 41 would say an interesting thing about the ministry of John the Baptist. It said, "John did no miracle, But everything that he spake was true of this man. There was no ministry. There was not a miracle done in John the Baptist's ministry. There was no eyes being opened. There was no lame walking. There was no deaf hearing. There was no dead being raised to life. There was no miracles that happened through the ministry of John the Baptist. But the greatest thing about John the Baptist's ministry was his message. It was the simple message that you can come out of your lifestyle of sin and you can have hope if you turn around and say, God, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of making excuses. I'm going to live for you with everything that I have. Repentance is found throughout the pages of Scripture. There is a Bible character that I really like to read about because he messed up a lot just like me. His name is Jonah. And God speaks to Jonah one day and he says, hey, I want you to go and preach the message of repentance to the Ninevites. And upon hearing this request of the Lord, Jonah did what any one of us would do as good saints of God. He went the opposite direction of what God told him to do. He went to a place called Tarshish and he said, hey, this call is just too great for me. I don't want to commit that much to what you're requiring me to do. I'm going to go relax on the beaches of Tarshish. I don't want to go follow the call of God. And so what we find is God's not very happy about this action of Jonah. So he sends a storm into the life of Jonah, and his boat gets a little rocky. And he had some friends that were so loyal to him that they threw him overboard into the ocean. Aren't you thankful for loyal friends? The Bible says that God sent a fish to come and swallow up Jonah. And in the belly of this fish, Jonah would say in Jonah chapter 2 that it was the belly of hell. This situation was way more than he could handle. And the Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 1, it said, then Jonah prayed. There was a problem that was sent his way that was out of his control. And he simply said, the only way I could get out of this is if I fall on my knees and I cry out to the Lord. Then Jonah prayed. And in second verse, at the end of that chapter, when Jonah had repented and he declared these words, salvation is of the Lord. Then the Bible says God spoke to the fish and it threw up Jonah on the land of Nineveh. Can I just tell you that God has positioned you in a place where all you can do is get on your knees and begin to pray. The problem is too insurmountable for you to contain, and you've tried to juggle it and you tried to manage it, but what God really wants you to do is to find a place of prayer and to say salvation belongs to the Lord, and you've got to repent just like Jonah repented, and God released him out of that problem because he prayed. What would happen if you say, I'm going to lay aside my pride. I'm going to lay aside everything and I'm going to pray unto the Lord. I'm going to seek the face of God. There's another character in the Bible whose name that many of us know, whose name is David. I love David. David commits this horrible sin. He's in his palace and he's looking over his empire and he sees this beautiful lady by the name of Bathsheba and he commits adultery with her and he does even worse than that. He puts her husband to death. He's committed adultery and he's killed a man. And then the prophet Nathan would come to David and he would say, you have committed this great sin. And David would
pray this prayer found in Psalm chapter 51. And I want you to hear the weight of the words in this chapter. And this is really where I want to preach from today. I want you to hear the cry of a man whose heart was gripped with conviction. And he fell to his face and he would pray, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my sin, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." He would go on in verse number 10, and he would pray this prayer that I have prayed so often in my life. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He would go on to declare what the premise of his prayer was. He would say, "Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." He would simply say, "Lord, have mercy on me, so that when people come to me, I could tell them how merciful you are." When people ask me, "How great is the mercy of God?" David would say, "Just look at me. Look at the grace of God. Behold the mercy and the grace of God." David would say, "I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for the mercy of God." One of the things about repentance, Pastor McCoy, is I feel like it is a continual daily prayer. Every single day, Pastor McCoy, I give myself another reason to repent. Every single day I look at myself and say, "Man, why did I say that to that person? And why did I say that lie? And why did I do that? Why did I go there? Why did I speak those words I know I shouldn't have said?" And repentance is a daily, continual thing. None of us are perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I love that prayer of David. "Please give me mercy so that I can teach people how great you are." In Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3, it tells something very interesting here today, and I'm not trying to be so heavy with this message, but if they could put up Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3, and maybe I don't even have to read it, maybe you could just read it for yourself. Says, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, I know all of us want to sit in our nice pews and look so prim and proper and act like we have our lives together. And man, I don't have any problems. I've never committed sin. I don't know what that young preacher is talking about. I'm perfect. I don't know. Maybe everybody here needs to repent, but I'm fine, Brother Damien. You can preach to somebody else. But the Bible would tell us that the only way that you can go to heaven is if you repent, that you humble yourself and say, "Lord, I really don't have it all together. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. I've fallen short. I'm a nobody from now. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have drank that. I shouldn't have smoked that. I shouldn't be involved in that toxic relationship. God, I want to repent, and I never want to go back to that lifestyle." Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10, and I'll close with this if we all want to stand. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10, I want you to notice this verse. It says, likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, that scripture lets me know that heaven is not rejoicing if somebody gets healed today. Heaven's not rejoicing if somebody who came in with cancer is made whole today. Heaven doesn't rejoice over somebody who's deaf or blind that would come in and get a miraculous healing. But the place that you will find heaven rejoicing is where somebody lifts their hands and say, God, I'm surrendering to you, and I'm laying it all on the altar. I'm repenting of everything that I've done, and I'm giving you full control of my life. You have to repent. You have to repent. Now, the Lord has put two places. There is two destinations this morning that you have to choose from. There is either a place called heaven, or there is a place called hell. Now, what we have to describe hell is it's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and there's continual pain and torment. And that's where you'll find somebody who doesn't repent. But the Bible would tell us there's a place called heaven, and it would describe a little bit about what heaven is. Revelation chapter 21, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat up on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. If you came here today and your past is cloudy and dark, there is one who can make all things new. You could leave out of here washed under the blood of Jesus Christ. Your slate can be clean and purified if you make up your mind that I'm going to repent of my sins. I feel right now that what some of you are struggling with is, man, I've got to repent. Man, I thought I had it all together. But each and every one of us have to come back to the simple message of repentance. There was a man in our church back home, Pastor McCoy, and I kind of knew when we were going to see him, about every 6 months. And the first time he came in, he came up to the altar after service, and man, he's about 6'4". He had his arms stretched out, and man, he was weeping, and he was crying, and he was crying out to the Lord. And man, I went and prayed for him. I was weeping with him. God help him. God deliver him. God make a way. Man, he started to get his life back together. He was getting out of a very bad relationship, and he needed God to make a way where there is no way. And so he began to prioritize God and put him first. Things begin to get better. Then one Sunday, we didn't see him, Pastor McCoy. And weeks and months went by, and then all of a sudden, he comes walking in a couple months later. And he said, man, I really got to get my rent paid. And again, he was at the altar, and his hands were raised. He was weeping, and he was crying, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry to walking away. I'm tired of playing games with you, God. I really need you to show up this time. And God honored that prayer again. And God provided for him and paid his rent. And we didn't see him the next service. And time again, there's this cycle where we come in and say, Lord, I'm so tired of playing games. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. And then God starts to mend our life back together. And we think we can do it on our own. So we leave the church and we forsake God. And you say, God, I got it from here. I don't need you anymore. And we forget that we have to continually come back to the feet of Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. I've simply come to challenge you. Don't make this a cycle. I want you to crush the cycle and make up your mind. I'm going to follow Jesus. I've made up my mind. I've made my decision. I've put a line in the sand, and by the grace of God, I will serve the Lord. You have to make up your mind today. I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of just speaking words. I'm tired of just going through the motions. But I've come today to turn away from my lifestyle. You can hear the words of John the Baptist from heaven as he looks over today at this church. And he simply says, just tell them again, repent. Just preach the message again. Repent. Repent. Prepare the way. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon. No man knows the day or the hour. He comes as a thief in the night. I've come to tell you, if you want to make heaven your home, you've got to repent. What I want us to do, and I know this is going to be so inconvenient for you, and I want you to come today and not to bury your face in the carpet, but I want you to come and to lift your hands as a sign of surrender and say, God, I'm tired of playing games with you. I'm tired of holding on to the reins of my life. I'm giving you full control. And as you lift your hands, I wonder if you could have a heart that cries out and says, God, I'm tired of playing games. I'm tired of going through the motions. Come on, somebody lift your voice. I want you to make up your mind. Even if my family doesn't follow God, I'm going to follow Him. Even if the church forsakes you, Lord, I've made up my mind. I'm going to follow you.